1-800-878-MYTAKE. You can join the conversation on anything in the program, and we're going to shift gears and talk about real food crises.
Real food crisis, because there's just essentially no let up on the global food crisis. Drought, high oil prices, conflict, a confluence of events continues to create ever-escalating tensions. We're talking fatal clashes, rationing, talks about food price controls. Joining us to dissect the issues is Mary Robinson, the former president of Ireland and the former UN High Commissioner of Human Rights, who's just returned from South Africa, where she was celebrating Nelson Mandela's 90th birthday. Welcome, President Robinson. Very nice to have you here this afternoon. How was the birthday party?
It was great. We were there for a meeting of the elders, which is a group that Nelson Mandela and his wife, Graça Machel, have brought together. Our chair is Archbishop Tutu, Kofi Annan's a member, and Jimmy Carter from this country.
Oh, nice company.
Yeah. And we had a lunch with Nelson Mandela, Madiba, as we call him. And it was really wonderful because he was in such good form. Mm. He really enjoyed it. And we had a very interesting conversation. And one of the things that he was asked about, I don't know if you know this word, Ubuntu, the African concept, what he thought about it. And he sort of said, well, you know, there's nothing new in it. It's about humanity. It's about the fact that we're all linked. And it was just great to hear somebody, you know, who's valued, especially by young people all over the world, actually say something so simple and profound.
That's great. Well, you are a member of the elders. Easy for Nelson Mandela to say he's 90. But as a member of this group, you want to have particular interest and influence on the way people look at food distribution in the world. What is your goal, and what have you managed to accomplish? Certainly, things are changing underfoot very, very rapidly.
Yes, we had a public meeting in South Africa, which ActionAid helped to convene. The elders have decided to mark the 60th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights by taking month by month different values of the Universal Declaration. And one of the values, of course, is freedom from hunger, right to food. And when we decided this last December, we didn't know that during the month of July it would be so urgent. This food crisis is a crisis of the poor. It's a crisis of the poorest. The figures are shocking. Over 800 million people in this world today are hungry every day. And, of course, the majority of them are women, and it affects children. A child dies every 5 seconds from hunger or food-related causes. And the combination, it's like a perfect storm. We have rising food prices of all the foods, wheat, maize, corn, oil, that are essential to the poorest families who spend most of their income on food, what income they have. And it's high fuel prices, it's drought and flooding in agricultural producing areas, including in this country. And it's the biofuel issue, though I think that's been possibly a little bit exaggerated now.
Biofuels being competition for food source, for commodities.
Using food products. Right. And I think we're now learning that turning corn into biofuel is not a good idea. Mm-hmm. And a lot of this country has been focused on that. There are good biofuels, and then changing food habits in countries like China and India.
They're eating more meat, of course, more meat takes more resources.
And then you're getting a bit of speculation, a bit of hoarding and speculation, right, which is very worrying.
So how do you think that, given all of these things, and we've reported on many of them on this show, how should we be looking at what really matters? Obviously, feeding people is important. No one's going to argue that point. Is it a problem with getting the food to people? Is it a problem of the priorities of the developing countries? Are they giving the money that's needed in order to execute those plans to feed? Is it a question of conflict? We talked about Somalia yesterday and this systematic targeting of aid workers who caught up in the middle of fighting between the secular government and Islamic parties.
All of those are relevant issues, but I think the main failure is a policy failure, a failure in poor countries, and I would particularly focus on Africa, to have a policy of food security grown locally, proper agricultural policy.
But there's limits to what one country can do. I want to bring Steve Dubner in on that. I mean, it seems to me that as these prices rise, the one thing that is not having an impact is the notion that we have surpluses and that those surpluses will somehow make their way to the poorest countries. There's some blockages in the system now that individual national food crises can't really get at.
Yeah, I would love to ask two questions. One is, why has the spike in food prices taken everyone so much by surprise? Because much of what you've mentioned, some of it is drastic and unexpected, but most of it is not. And second, I'd like to know, where is Norman Borlaug in all of this? Because for years he was known as the father of the Green Revolution, who said we can feed 10 billion people a lot of his attention was focused on South Asia and Africa. Where has that hope and that technology gone?
On your first point, the surprise, I think we did know that there were increasing problems, but the fuel surge has hit very badly. And I think what is tragic is that it's setting back these Millennium Development Goals that we've been talking about here in New York on the week of the 23rd, 24th, 25th of September. There'll be a high-level General Assembly on it, and this will be highly relevant. If you take, for example, HIV, people on antiretrovirals need nutrition. And I've been in a number of clinics. I've visited people in different countries, in Kenya, in South Africa itself, where, in fact, that's the major problem, to have the food to support the antiretrovirals. I spoke to a young girl in South Africa after the debate on the food crisis because she had taken part in an ActionAid children's demonstration. They did a wonderful profile of Nelson Mandela, which you could see from the air, several thousand children. And I talked to her. She was the eldest of six. Her mother's a domestic worker. They eat once a day now. And that's in Alexandra in South Africa. I was in Senegal recently, and there were food riots while I was there because of a lack of emphasis on small-scale agriculture. Hmm. So to your second question, we do need... The words green revolution worry some local, bottom-up workers because they tended to be large-scale using fertilizers that actually were the technological answer. In Africa, it has to be a labor-intensive answer, but we do need better fertilizers that are geared to smallholders. And of course, many of the smallholders, the farmers, 60% of them in Africa are women, and they have so many burdens. But we do need to realize this is not a crisis of today or tomorrow. This is a sustained crisis over decades.
When you talk about local growing, don't you then first have to create some kind of security? Zimbabwe used to be a major exporter of products, of produce in Africa. Now, given what's been happening politically, they are importing one-third of the food that they need to feed their people.
And it's worse than that. We talked a lot about Zimbabwe. The stores are empty. There isn't food. And people are literally starving. And if it wasn't for kind of remittances and, sort of help, the aid workers have been prevented now from going in. So the political crisis in Zimbabwe is extraordinarily urgent. There are some moves. Mbeki was there yesterday with President Mugabe and Morgan Tsvangirai, at least the beginnings of talks. I have friends who are from Zimbabwe. I was talking to one yesterday here in New York, and she is desperate. The situation is appalling. And that was a breadbasket.
Political stability, sort of food and economic stability, all these things require an increased awareness on the part of everybody inside nations and also globally. Mary Robinson, thanks so much for coming to the studio this morning to talk about this. Mary Robinson, of course, a member of the Nelson Mandela Elders, former president of Ireland, former UN High Commissioner of Human Rights. There's some Freakonomics for you, Stephen Dubner.
It makes you ask if Malthus was right, right? For years we've been saying no.
Well,
today we talked about financial literacy. We talked about the global food prices. We want to hear from
energy illiteracy.
Yeah, what's your thought on how the world can deal with the food crisis and how you might want to balance your checkbook? 8778, my take.
Here's today's takeaway.
Two old fat ladies raised on grease that ain't natural with toys for the kids. You hook 'em young.
Happy birthday, Big Mac, or not. If you missed anything on today's program, you can catch up with us on iTunes and Friend Feed.
I'm Adora Udoji.
And I'm John Hockenberry. It's The Takeaway.